As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Two Travel Dads Podcast. Here we share our favorite destinations, travel tips, stories from our adventures, and bring on awesome guests to share insights into their travelsome lives. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out our detailed show notes at twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Two Travel Dads Podcast. I am Rob, and we are so lucky to have one of our favorite repeat guests back. Kelly, hey.
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, you know, lovely. I think last time that we recorded a podcast together, we talked about best buddy travel and how much we value that and how all the good it does for us. And we're the luckiest. We got to do another trip together.
I know, it was fantastic as usual.
So I think we should just talk about that and talk about the fun we had and what we kind of saw and kind of what we learned about. We went to Arizona in December, which was shocking, very cold.
But no people. And that was really nice. No offense, people. But, you know, we travel and there's no lines, no waiting. Everyone, the staff is happy to be there and happy that you're there, because you know, if you're not there, they don't make any money. And we've worked in hospitality, so we know that to be true. But yeah, it was great because it's when it starts to get a little chillier, and so and the kids are back in school, so I would highly recommend going this time of year. Way to say that.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. Especially so for our Arizona trip, what we did was we met in Phoenix, because I mean, that's where you start. If you're flying from anywhere, that's easy to get to. And there's a new route from Jacksonville to Phoenix. So for me, it's a one-stop shop, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, how was your flight home?
It was delayed. No, I was late. Came in late. We had been in the bar area in Phoenix, so I was ready to just kind of take a nap. So got on the plane, and then it was delayed. And so I missed my connection to Maine by 10 minutes, unfortunately, at midnight in Newark, New Jersey. And so not much was available. And I mean, Newark's huge, so there's plenty of people still out and about to answer questions and stuff. But I was totally ready to go to bed. And so I found myself needing to find a hotel and a way to get to the hotel, and then obviously book another flight for the following day. So
did they take care of that for you?
No, nothing was taken care of for me. United.
United. That's why.
Yeah. So unfortunately, yeah, I think United used to be a lot better, but my experience this time was low. But I think they are going to reimburse me for the hotel. Hopefully the taxi. I know there's a shuttle that I could have taken, but it was getting close to 1 a.m. and my body just will fall on the ground and fall asleep. I feel like if I get much past midnight. So I was like, let's just get a taxi. And I got totally be aware of taxis. They're the taxi drivers I've had in the last year on our travels have been scary, actually. So it was $40 to go maybe 5 minutes. Oh. And I was just going to do it. I know there was a shuttle I could have found, but it was like a gate A, B, and you have to take a tram. And I was just not, I wasn't feeling it. So I was like, fine, I'll just get a taxi. How bad can it be? That guy had a very scary attitude, just bad, like growling at me almost. And then at the end of my 5-minute drive for $40, he asked if he could have a tip too. And I gave him a dollar because in Boston, and I didn't tip the guy, he got violent with me and scared me. And it was late at night and I was scared. So just a little note there. I'm a strong person and I don't think that I'm going to get hurt or attacked. But I think if you're not kind of, you know, in your strength when you're traveling, you can feel extra vulnerable. So I would just say head up for taxi drivers, because I think they're aggro because there's Uber now. I don't know, but that was my last two experiences.
That's interesting. And that's not where I thought you were going to go with that. I thought you were just going to say, I got delayed and missed my flight and had to rebook. But wow, that's the whole side of the story I hadn't had yet. That's fascinating.
TMI, maybe you can edit it out. But
no, just, I mean, that's
we're talking about travel details.
Happening. Wow. Yeah. Well, and you know, we've had bad luck. Like in January when we went to Hawaii and came home, remember it was the day that the FAA computers had that like ransomware thing, and then we got grounded in LA and we missed that and we had to sleep overnight on the floor.
Yeah. There's some of that involved in travel and we don't really it, but I think we should, because it's the reality of you know, traveling nowadays. As it is a little less expensive, I think that's great. I think travel has become more accessible. There's more carriers and so they have more competition, so the prices are more affordable, especially if you can plan like 3 to 4 months out. I find that is helpful. But yeah, so
that's interesting. Yeah, well, thank goodness we had a wonderful week beforehand, because
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so back to where I was going with that was that we we both flew into Phoenix and it was delightful to get to see each other there, and I did a little grocery shop beforehand so we had yummy snacks, and then we headed to the Grand Canyon, which was marvelous. And I think you said you'd been to the Grand Canyon such a long, long time ago, like 20 plus years ago. And that was last time I was there too.
Yeah, no, and it was barely a visit. It was just a stop off at the edge for a minute, compared to what we did, where we stopped off at every single pull off point of the southern rim of the Grand Canyon, if I'm not mistaken.
Every single viewpoint on the south rim from one end of the national park to the other, we hit every single one, including little ones that were just like pullovers. We absolutely knocked it out of the park. And I feel like there was enough variation between each viewpoint that it was completely worth it to stop at each one.
Well, let me just backtrack just a tiny bit here and say, so you picked me up from the airport in the favorite rental car that we get every time, no matter where we are, no matter the temperature.
Standard rental car.
The Ford Mustang convertible, baby. It was super fun. And then you hand me my Ferrari.
That has really become our standard.
Oh, yeah. I'm really grateful because I love convertibles. And we've learned that you can just roll up the windows and turn on the heat a little bit. Not all the time. We're all people losing their minds out there, our husbands included. Don't ever do that. We're such rebels, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
So I get my itinerary and it has an envelope with it. And the itinerary literally goes, it's small. What is the font? 10? And it's from top to bottom on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day that we're together, which I love. And I have to put it out there as someone in wellness for people who are nervous to travel. I know a lot of people are just getting back into travel. Make a very tight itinerary. It makes you feel safe. It makes you feel like you're maximizing your time and your money. And I love that Rob takes care of that, because I'm a good flower. And as you can tell by these podcasts, I get off on a tangent and he's got to rein me in. I'm like that with a spring too. So it's really helpful when you have that almost minute to minute itinerary.
On this one, I tried to be a little bit more loose than normal.
No, I think travel. Together, you have loosened up a little bit, because I need to go a little slower and take some rest breaks and also sit and actually absorb the energy of an area as well, which you do when you're hiking around too. But if you actually just sit and listen sometimes, which we did get some time to do, it's even more you can get more out of it, I think.
So anyway, so we got together in Phoenix and we headed north towards the Grand Canyon, where, as you said, there was very few people, and that was amazing. On the way, we had those fun stops. That's one of the things I like about road trips in the Southwest, is that there's 10 million stops you can choose to make, and most of them are totally worthwhile. So the first one that we stopped at was Montezuma's Castle National Monument.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. Super cool. How old was it? It was like
1039.
Yeah, like a 1,000-year-old settlement built into the cliff. And it's not as big as, you know, Mesa Verde National Park, where you've got just amazing cliff dwellings. Or my favorite is Hovan Weep in southern Utah. We were talking about that when we were there too. But Montezuma's Castle was fascinating. It was just all these room complexes built into the cliff.
Yeah, and I guess you'd said it was open to the public to visit until the 60s, was it?
Yeah, they've got a whole display about, they specifically built a diorama to show people what it was like inside, because there were too many tours going up through the 1,000-year-old mud brick structure. So now you just get to view it from below. But apparently until the 60s, yeah, you used to be able to actually go through it, which...
That's fascinating. Can we build houses that last for 1,000 years anymore? Curious.
Well, I think with 3D printing that they do for houses now, where they have like the concrete 3D printers.
Wow.
I think that might be something that is a possibility, but I don't think it'll be as cool.
What would be left of our civilization in 1,000 years?
I think our patio.
Garbage.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, there were other cool places that also had other types of structures. Like the next one we went to was Toosie-Goot National Monument. Okay. Super easy to kind of pair all these things together. And it was totally different, because that one was kind of, I don't know, would you call it in the middle of the plateau or?
In the middle of Mesa and surrounded by cacti. It was kind of in a lower valley though, so I can imagine it would be better for wind and...
Yeah, it was in the Verde Valley, which is also the whole wine region of Arizona. So, right, that wasn't a valley.
Have to go back.
We will have to go back to do our wine tasting, because Cottonwood looked like the coolest little town that we just drove through and didn't stop. But so we need to stop so we can actually do all the cool little towns and not just all the historic sites.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Man. A lot to see in Arizona.
There is.
No. But with that, because we made all these awesome stops, we got to the Grand Canyon after dark, which is fine because we got up early the next day.
We did it at the right time as well. We were right on sunrise. Both. You have to do both because the shadows are changing, the colors change. It's magical. It's the work.
So for the sunrise, because we did sunrise at the Grand Canyon two different days. Did you like Yavapai Point, which was the first morning, the windy morning, or Maricopa Point better? Which did you think gave you the better view, the better experience? Which would you pick?
Well, they were both very different, I'll say. Yavapai, you're actually down in the canyon, and the wind is ripping through, nuclear wind, and I was feeling it. It was really cool. It was literally cool, but also just to watch that's just a different perspective, I guess, is the long way to say what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
The short way to say what you're trying to say. You know, it's totally a different perspective because, I mean, especially I think with our first morning, that was the first that we'd even seen the canyon. So we're kind of overwhelmed in general. Then to have 20 degree wind blow up through your underpants really is exhilarating. I think we definitely need to go back during the summer so we could experience the other end of that. Because, I mean, we've done now, you know, I think the low that we hit was 21 degrees. And then it got into the, mid-60s, high-60s in the daytime.
In the early morning to 70, mid-70s in the afternoon. So definitely.
Did it get warm? Oh, there you have it.
Yeah, the second view spot, what did you call that one?
Maricopa Point.
Maricopa was more atop of the canyon, and there was a lot more people there because it wasn't quite so cold and windy. And that was outstanding. You could see much more of, looking down at that angle, you could see more of the shadows and the colors, I think.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that made our first viewpoint, the Yavapai point, so windy, is because right there it's kind of like a funnel. And so the wind just pulls through, funnels through, and then blasts you, versus Maricopa point, where being up high, like you're saying, it's more of like looking out over the plain.
And I will say, got some wonderful photos at Yavapai because you do look like you're standing on top of the world there. So definitely hit that for some great photo shots too.
Gosh. Nice. And one of the other cool things about visiting in the wintertime was that we actually got to drive on the Southern Rim Road all the way out to Hermit's Rest, which in the summertime when it's super busy, that's close to regular people. And you have a shuttle bus.
Yeah, no, we went right up to it, and it was very cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then we also got a screaming deal on our hotel at the Grand Canyon, which was lovely. The Yavapai Lodge, you know, it was, I guess I kind of describe it as like a renovated roadside motel, kind of.
Yeah, it had kind of that smell a little bit, but just to get the idea of what it's like, I think that's how some people know what I'm talking about. But it was perfect too, because you're not really there. As long as the bed's comfortable and you feel safe and you've got a shower and toilet, I mean, you're gonna be out in the Grand Canyon. Don't worry about your room too much. And the Yavapai, the lodge was lovely. All the servers, I think, is what really stood out to me. We went there two mornings in a row, especially because they had those gluten-free chocolate chip pancakes that I was so excited about. And that had the prickly pear syrup on top. Oh my gosh, I'm still thinking about it. Can you tell?
I can tell. And you really enjoyed those.
So much food joy there. They have a really nice gift shop. They also have a take and go kind of spot where you can just grab your lunch for the day, put it in your backpack, and just be gone from the property all day and out into that amazing park. It's really beautiful to drive around and stop at every single stop. Do it. Yeah. It's
and I think the thing that surprised me about Grand Canyon National Park as an adult, because last time I was there, I was a little kid, is that even though we didn't have our kids with us, I know exactly how I would visit that park if the kids came with us next time. Like, there's lots of little hikes that you can do. There's some really intense hikes. You can kind of really pick and choose what sort of experience you want to have. And it's all beautiful. And there's lots of services all over the place. And super easy. One of the most user-friendly national parks I've been to.
Definitely. And the different, we also stopped off at, I think, almost every one of the lodges to check out and take a photo or two, or, you know, feel it out, walk around.
Yeah.
Almost all of them, I believe, had their own walking trail too, right?
Yeah.
Or just stay right at the park. So if you're there with a grandparent or something that can't get out or doesn't want to really go crazy like a younger family does, they can all enjoy the park. A lot of accessibility. Mm-hmm. There was almost is an accessible part of the walk or the hike too. So I really enjoy that, to see that too.
Yeah, it's almost set up kind of like Disney World resorts are, where if you stay at the right one, you boom, you're just like there in the action. Same thing with Grand Canyon lodges. They're just boom, step outside and there you are.
Yeah, very impressed with the services and the accessibility for sure.
Yeah, and then gosh, once we were done there, I feel like we crammed so much into 6 days or 7 days, however long we were there.
As per the use for us.
As per the use, we really know how to work an itinerary. We stopped at, Wipatki National Monument and saw more ancient dwellings. That was the place that had the blowhole, the natural AC.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was fascinating. So from the center of the earth, wherever it comes from.
Yeah, they built their village space over that like shaft that just goes deep into the bowels of the earth, where there's always cold air blowing, and it's just this natural AC for the village. Amazing.
Brilliant. Love that.
Yeah. And then Phoenix wasn't thrilling, because that was just, for me, that was my work trip, and you got to enjoy, you know, the garden and do your spa stuff. But
A nice pool on, what was it, the fourth floor? Pool.
We stayed at the Sheraton downtown, which was delightful.
It was perfect in the middle of everything. Yep.
I gotta say, it's nice having business traveler hotels, because they know that business travelers don't want to be traveling, and so they make it really pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, they had a nice gym, and then there were some great restaurants right in walking distance, so we didn't go far from the hotel and had a great restaurant and a cute bar, and then the restaurant in the hotel, too, was jam-packed, so even if people don't
the whole time.
Have fun there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was nice to get out of Phoenix, though, because then we got to go and explore new places that neither of us had ever been. Yeah. We headed southwards, and we hit Casa Grande National Monument, where we learned even more about the people that used to inhabit Arizona. What you read all everything there. What was it that made everybody disappear?
Kind of the same things we are doing now, overpopulation and depleting their resources.
Oh, that's right, because they ran out of water.
Yeah. Yep. Water is a tough one to run out of. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and that's a big hot topic in Arizona. So
yeah. Yeah, it's hard. The Columbia River the Colorado River is looking different. Lake Havasu at the end, or what's the lake at the end?
Lake Havasu or Lake Mead.
Lake Mead, I think they were showing the details of how it's a lot lower now. So yes.
History repeats itself.
It does. That's where you ran after the Roadrunner.
Okay. So this is actually one of the highlights for me of our entire explore of Arizona was getting to see Roadrunners and coyotes, just like in Looney Tunes. And they really, there are coyotes just running around and Roadrunners just running around, just meep meep everywhere they go. And
we did not have bugs despite our efforts.
We saw a rabbit. It just wasn't Bugs Bunny.
It was the long-eared jackrabbit, though, that is what we were hoping to find.
So it just means we've got to go back because we also need to see Gila monsters still.
Those are going to – everyone let us know. But we have to make that note, too, is everyone that we asked said you're never going to see a Roadrunner. You're never going to see a coyote.
Exactly.
And because you just have to work at it. You have to get out there.
You want it really bad.
Want it. You have to think like a Roadrunner.
which we did. And we went to the right places and we saw plenty of them. We went to Picacho State Park and immediately we saw, it wasn't Picacho State Park where we saw the Roadrunner. It was Catalina State Park. And we asked the dude, the ranger, he's like, you're probably not going to see one. Boom. Less than 2 minutes later.
Yeah. We got pictures with Bruce, the big camera.
Yeah.
Around, he really gets the good shots too.
I love my enormous camera lens. It has changed how I enjoy travel.
Yeah, and we've got so many more pictures of these wonderful creatures that really are a big part of our travels together. Actually, we both get a lot of joy out of seeing nature succeeding and being happy and running around.
And it's true what they say about getting older, how one day all of a sudden you get into bird watching. It's completely true. If you've got a really good camera lens, it really just, it makes it even more true because then you get super psyched when you see these interesting birds. And I love it.
Yeah, you see them better through the lens when you don't have your glasses on.
But then, hey, remember where else we saw Roadrunner where they said we wouldn't? Was in Saguaro National Park, which was awesome. What was your favorite thing about Saguaro National Park?
Just all the variety of cacti. I just am fascinated by that plant. It's just not there to make friends. Every cactus is so spiky and it's kind of amazing that they are like that. I don't know. Something about how they are.
Yeah. So Saguaro National Park was interesting. So it's kind of like a couple other national parks where it's got kind of different units. Like there's the Red Hills side and then there is the Tucson Mountain side. So it's split into two and they're not close together. Like it's it took us like 45 minutes to go from one to the other.
Yeah, that was a little confusing.
But they were super different. Like one of them, the first one, the Tucson Mountain side, that's where we started, had a really amazing visitor center. That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was very modern and and they both had a nice movie that you could just watch again for accessibility purposes. It's nice. And you can just get the idea of the place. And then the curtain opens and there it is. I like that. So they do that at St. Helens too.
Oh, I haven't done that in forever.
Yeah. Okay. So you get a little history and you get, you know, the flora and fauna information. And they're usually, the movies are like 10 to 15 minutes. And when it's hot outside, they're usually in an AC theater. So that's nice too.
Yeah. Oh, God. It gets really, really, really hot down there because Saguaro National Park is in Tucson. So think about being toasty in Arizona and double it.
Yes. And I loved that we were there for sunset. That was really beautiful. I know you got some great shots of the cactus at sunset.
I got some amazing shots of cactus at sunset. And the trick of that, like if you're thinking, gosh, I want to go to this national park and do photography, the trick is really kind of getting down low so that you can really place those silhouettes of the just amazing cactus against the changing sky. And I really learned the hard way that you don't want to get too low.
Yeah.
Because there are cactus everywhere, and sometimes you are so focused on the giant ones that you don't see all the little ones that stab you in the leg and go through your jacket and stab you in the back of the arm and then the shoulder and the hand.
Oh, honey, yeah, you got kind of hurt.
It was just like Wile E. Coyote when he gets tested by the Roadrunner.
I could hear you from like a mile away. You were yelping like a little coyote out there.
I was being so careful, and it just I don't even know how I did it. It was
everywhere. They're so spiky and sharp. You can't, you know, like you try to, because we're curious and we go, what's that gonna feel like? Ouch, that hurt. Both of us did it.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them, it's funny. So we bought the cactus guide, and I was looking through it yesterday trying to pinpoint what it was that got stuck in me. And there are so many different types of cactus with the tiniest, sharpest little spikes that I don't even know what I pulled out of my leg and what I pulled out of my arm. Like, all I know is they didn't have the hooks on the end.
And there was barely any, but it was doesn't take much. And we were curious, and I don't know if you looked it up. Did they put a little bit of poison or anything?
I haven't looked that up, no.
It felt like it was pretty irritated for a while.
You know, I'm allergic to everything, so I was probably just allergic to something touching my skin.
That could be. There's that.
But no, that was, I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed our second half of that day at Saguaro National Park, because it is just doing that whole, you know, the scenic loop through the Red Hills district. It is just, it was gorgeous. You just drive at like, what, 5 miles an hour and watch the animals. And we heard all those coyotes.
We saw a coyote cross the road and do his business in the middle of the road.
That's true. Yeah, we learned that coyotes poop like cats.
Yeah, and he scratched the dirt on top of it.
It was hilarious, and he created this huge dust cloud, inspected his business, and then trotted off.
It was Wile E. Coyote making an appearance.
Ah, oh, good times.
The park that we were at with the nice picnic shelters.
That was Casa Grande. Casa Grande National Monument.
That was a nice walk too. That was like a mile and a half, 2 miles one way.
I think you're thinking of something different than I'm thinking of.
Where I took the phone call and you
That was Saguaro National Park. That was on the Red Mountain side. We did the Valley View Trail that just basically cuts through the middle of the park. Because it's such a small national park as far as like what's accessible to people, the trails aren't insane, and they're totally doable if you are prepared.
Yep, exactly. Water, more water than you think you need. And also just a random thing. I had to take a phone call and I got service there. So if you're someone who's like working remotely and you still want to do hiking and take your call, maybe that's something to add to the podcast too, is where there's good service. I know Chris probably always has that information too, but that was helpful because I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it since we were in the park.
Well, it's interesting because also up at Grand Canyon National Park, there was strangely good service, which I didn't expect because that's so far from anything. But both parks, it's not like we want to encourage anybody to get out of nature and sit on your laptop, but
absolutely strangely good. Right. I know Chris does that a lot. So that might be something to add into your information. I think people might appreciate is where you can get service in parks.
Well. Yeah. Well, so actually it's funny because our friends, you know, Tammy Lee and John, they run Tammy Lee Tips and Park Ranger John. One of the things that they're always really good about with articles on Park Ranger John, which is all about national parks, is how is the cell service and where do you get Wi-Fi in a national park? Because that really has become a huge thing with people being more location independent and wanting to work out of remote places like that.
Exactly. I think that's it. Hybridized work and play. I love it.
Great way to work in a shout out for our friends.
Hey, shout out.
Was there anything else about, you know what? We have to save it for a different episode because we only have a couple minutes left. But we are going to have to talk about Sedona, because I think you're the right person to talk about Sedona. You had a more impression of it than I did. So we'll save that for another time that we can talk about our travels.
Fun in Tucson, and we met a new friend in Tucson as well.
Who did we meet in Tucson?
Well, I guess she's new to me, Colleen.
Oh, yes. And you know what? And Colleen is going to be, I think she's three episodes away from us chatting about some really wonderful photography stuff. And also she's got a book coming out that we're going to talk about too.
Yeah, very cool. Her other books are absolutely beautiful. She's the real deal. She was the resident artist at Acadia National Park for 4 years. And her photos are not only beautiful, but they're moving and powerful, and she's poetic in her description. So I'm just super giddy excited to make her as a new friend.
So stay tuned and watch for an episode or two coming up with Colleen Minyak in it, because she's amazing. You're right. Good call. I think we kind of covered the basis of Arizona. I think what we need to do is we need to allot ourselves like a 2-hour podcast episode.
Would anyone listen to us talking and giggling for 2 hours? I kind of doubt it. I love you though, but
I think I would listen. Oh, chuckles.
Oh, chuckles is back. Okay. Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you for including me. As always, I'm always down. I'm your go-to gal when it comes to travel. Give me a call.
Be sure, if you are just listening to us for the first time, be sure you listen to our other episodes, because Kelly and I record some of my favorite episodes because we have such wonderful adventures together. So check out the podcast Roll of Everything, and we will talk at you later. Have a good day.
Have a great day. Toodaloo.
Two Travel Dads podcast is created by Rob and Chris Taylor in St. Augustine, Florida. We'd love to answer your questions here on the podcast, providing both our experience and stories to share our own insights into whatever you're wondering about. Visit twotraveldads.com/podcast-episodes to leave your questions and to check out past episodes and show notes. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and have an awesome day.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.